and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we'll take up our study here in John chapter 14, verse number 1. John 14, verse number 1. The Lord Jesus has just given a new commandment to his disciples. He says, love one another as I have loved you. By this, the world's going to know that you're my disciples, because you have love one for another. A great self-sacrificing love, not just love of the lips, talk, but love that leads to action, agape love. And then the Lord deals with Simon Peter. Simon wants to go where the Lord is going to go, and he cannot. Simon is willing to die, he says, for the Lord, and the Lord deals with him. And not all of that is iterated here in this particular gospel, but we know by the other gospels that it is. The Lord Jesus tells Peter that Satan desires to sift him to find out what he's made of. Satan believes that he's all chaff. The Lord Jesus has prayed for him that his faith fails not. Oh, what a blessing to have the Lord to intercede and to intervene for his children. He's prayed for him that his faith fails not. And when he's converted, when he understands, not talking about Peter's salvation, he's saved, he's been baptized, he is the Lord's. But Peter is yet needing to come to that point of that he's sold out for the Lord. That everything of life, every whit of life, is all for the Lord. We remember and think about Peter after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even after his resurrection, and we're going to find out in the end of this book, in the last chapter, the Lord deals with Peter yet there again. Peter wants something that he's confident with and that he believes that is stable, and he goes back to fishing, and the Lord deals with him and tells him, Peter, you need to follow me. Peter, you're going to die a death like unto mine. And that's the way that it's going to be. That's how you're going to glorify me. Peter's worried about what John's going to do. And the Lord Jesus Christ says simply, follow thou me. And that's the way it is. I believe that's how it is with the child of God. Those that are the Lord's, that they come to a point in life and they're brought to a time in life with understanding from the Word of God and instruction of the Scriptures. I've saved your soul. Are you going to walk with me and serve me no matter what the world says? Are you going to be willy-nilly in and out of the world and back and forth and halting between two opinions and never have a victorious life, an abundant life in me? And that's what the Lord brings Peter to. He tells him what kind of death he's going to die, that he's going to be crucified like unto the Lord. And then we find Peter later on being used mightily of the Lord on the day of Pentecost, and he's not the same man that he was before. Oh, he was saved before. He was saved at the preaching of John the Baptist or before, but he is indeed now converted. He's been called to be an apostle of the Lord, and on that day of Pentecost, he preaches boldly, and then days after that, and he is going to follow the Lord in that which the Lord has given him as an apostle and given his church, given the Lord having given his church the directive of the commission to fulfill, and that leadership role that the Lord has given the apostles in that transition time of the keys of the kingdom coming from Israel, the nation of Israel, to the Lord's church, and that transition time of not just Jews being added to the church and the manifestation of the Spirit in them, but also the Gentiles. Peter is going to be used of the Lord, and he is indeed converted. And he writes in his epistles, speaking nothing about the rapture, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the clouds for his saints, because Peter knows he is going to die, and he is content with that, because he's going to serve the Lord. As he says and writes in his epistles, the rest of the time that the Lord has given us, for the time that he saved us on, that we might live that time, the rest of that time, not in the will of the flesh, but in the will of God. And so now we embark on chapter 14. And I tell you what, here in the book, Gospel of John, it's a favorite of mine. I think of the song Constantly Abiding with these chapters. And understand that the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're there and they're in parallel, and they kind of stretch out over the life and a broader span of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, or a more even span over that 3 years of his ministry. But the book of John kind of fast forwards to the end of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. And here from this chapter and in chapter 12 and coming through chapter 13 and now on through the end of the book, all the way to chapter 21, we have a great zooming in, if you will, to the last days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are at the night before the day that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be crucified, and there's much that's said. Here, after the other Gospels tells us, after they leave that upper room that where the Lord observed the Passover, instituted the Lord's Supper, washed the disciples' feet, sent Judas on to his mission of betrayal, his possession by Satan. We see here now the Lord is there with his church. There are no outsiders there now. There are no betrayers there now. It's him and his church whom he loves. Him and his church, the people that he saved and that he's placed in his church, the apostles that he's ordained to be a witness of his resurrection and of his gospel, he's there with them. Oh, and facing death in a matter of less than a day, and facing death in just less than 18 hours or so, the Lord Jesus is ministering to his church. I tell you what, it just blesses my soul. I tell the church here, and as I've taught through these chapters, to consider very well from the song to Gethsemane, that time as the Lord is there with his disciples in the upper room, to where they get to the Gethsemane, where the Lord is ultimately betrayed by his apostles and taken by that band of men there in the dark of night out of the Garden of Gethsemane and taken on to the high priest's father-in-law's place and ultimately the high priest, and then they have their mock trial. It's a blessed time between the hymn that they sing there in the upper room and the trip they take to Gethsemane and the words that the Lord speaks to his children. In John chapter 14, verse number 1, the scripture says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He says, and he's told them, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the manifestation of God. I am the Son of God. I am God." John wrote about it in chapter 1, didn't he? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He writes there in that chapter 1 that the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we saw him, we were with him, and it was great to be with him. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And that's what it says. An interesting study about the New Jerusalem on the new earth. Oh, it's a big place. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles tall. 12 to 1,500 miles wide. 12 to 1,500 miles in length. And 12 to 1,500 miles tall. If you take that New Jerusalem and break that city into different floors, if my memory serves me correctly, with 7 miles between each story, you can have 80-some stories, and the square footage, the square area in the New Jerusalem, if you divided it up that way, and I'm not saying it is that way, but would match the surface of the earth in that one city. "In my Father's house are many mansions." If it were not so, I would have told you what a blessed statement this is. "I go to prepare a place for you." And Jesus is doing that now. He's preparing a place for his people. He's preparing a place for his church. He's preparing a place for his bride. And he's doing so with great diligence. And he's looking forward to the time to come and get his people. And that time is drawing near. "And if I go and prepare a place for you," verse 3, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I think of a verse that's a blessing to me. It's been a blessing to me over the years. In Isaiah chapter 57. And I want to read you this verse. And I pray that it's a blessing to you. "Lost sinner, you that are under the hearing of my voice, without Christ, oh, you need him. You need him as your Savior. Because Without Christ, there's no mansion prepared for you. Without Christ, you don't have one that's coming back to get you. Without Christ, you have no forgiveness of your sins. Without Christ, your life on this earth is the best that you have. Oh, but repent of your sins before the Lord and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him and His gospel. Cry out into mercy before to God that you need Him to save your soul. Seek Him while you have life. Seek Him only through Jesus Christ, because He is the only way. May the Lord help and save you. Here in Isaiah chapter 57, verse number 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one," that's capital O, that's one of His names, one, "high and lofty." Is the Lord making a brag there? No, He's telling the truth. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, a broken and low spirit," repentance, humility before God, "a righteous sorrow for sin against God Almighty. I dwell with the high, in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, and I do so to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones." I dwell with them to revive them, to give them life. "Let not your heart be troubled," back in John 14:1. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you," I won't lie to you, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also with Jesus forevermore." What's going to make glory? What makes heaven and the new heaven and the new earth so great? It's that Jesus is there. Are you going there? You can only go there by salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with His word and His truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.